Our reading this morning can be found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. Pew Bible, page 1174, page 1174. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. This is the word of God.
Good morning. How good it is to be with you here in church, and also to be with you virtually, those of you who are tuning in to us on YouTube, including my mum, if you're there. The last 18 months connected to us through YouTube. I'm sure we're all very grateful for connections like that, for Slack, for Zoom. I was just invited to a Google meetup. Oh, goodness. I said, do I have to really? Because one thing that a global pandemic has taught me, I wonder if this is true for you, is how good it is to be connected, and to be connected face-to-face in real life. Just yesterday, I saw some people who I hadn't seen for 18 months. It was at the licensing, the introduction of a new pastor at Rye Lane Chapel, just about 200 yards from here, for 2 years since Pastor Frank, my old gym buddy, he left, and they've been looking for God's person to lead them at Rye Lane Chapel. And yesterday, a guy called Phil Woolley, was welcomed into the Baptist church there, and there are a whole lot of friends of mine there. Haven't seen them for 18 months, including Frank. I said, Frank, how good it is to be with you. I've learned to appreciate that. And another thing that I've learned to appreciate in a whole new way, I wonder if this is true for you, of a need not only to connect with one another, but to connect in a whole new way with God, our Father in heaven. Not because I've suddenly become more holy, but I think it's true for many, maybe all of us, that at moments we have ticked the box of who Jesus was talking about in the first line of his first sermon. We have felt poor in spirit and have needed the presence of God, the connection with God, the blessing of God. Blessed, said Jesus, are the poor in spirit. And these last 18 months have been, maybe for you too, an answer to our ancient prayer, which says, Lord God, put salt on our lips, that we might thirst for thee. Or as a psalmist puts it, as the deer pants in the desert for the water, so my soul longs for you. Have you felt this thirst to be connected in the desert for some of you and others, a desert of anguishing circumstances because of COVID, a desert in a dry and dusty land where it's felt like there is no water, the thirst to be connected with God? And God says, you can. In the letter to the Ephesians, which we're looking at this morning and in the weeks to come, we're looking at the promises of God, the character of God, who longs to connect with his people. The word religion literally means, from the Latin religio, to connect again. There is a thirst. God has put it in there. In you, in me, in humankind, to be connected to God, who is our Father in heaven. You can be connected through Jesus. The letter to the Ephesians is the word of God, all about the Word who became flesh, who is Jesus. If you've got a Bible, your own, or in the seats where you are, open it up to Ephesians chapter 1. We just heard it read to us by Mary. And it's what God wants to speak by his Spirit into our hearts, to any of us who've known this thirst, or to any of us who even would desire to know this thirst. And in this morning's word from God, that the Holy Spirit of Jesus, that's the presence of Jesus, wants to speak into your thirst and mine. He gives us three promises. Three promises of God the Father that Jesus the Son guarantees. The promise that in his sight you are chosen for a purpose. The promise in his sight that you belong and are adopted into a family. The promise, because of Jesus, that you are forgiven and offered a fresh start. And after thinking about these, I'm going to invite us all, me and you if you wish to, to respond by saying, yes, I want that. I need that. I need you, Jesus. Writing these promises inspired by God's Holy Spirit with him is the apostle, which means the sent one, called Paul. And he's writing this letter, not only to the church in Ephesus, but it's a round-robin letter to other churches in the first century. And where he's writing from is prison. The prison in Rome, where he is kept for about 2 years, has the sewage, or it had in the first century, the sewage of the city running through it. What an awful place to be incarcerated in. But even though the stink of human waste fills his nostrils, the grace and peace of Jesus is with him in his cell. Paul has received the promises of Jesus, who left his disciples with the words, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And what Paul has received, he's speaking out, he's speaking over those he is writing to. And he gives them these promises of Jesus that he invites them to receive in faith. Now, faith, someone has said, is taking a promise of God and leaning on it, trusting it. In the same way that, like my mum needs help to move, once upon a time from a walking stick, one of these trolleys whose name I forget that you can push, and has to lean on it. And if it's not trustworthy and collapses, she'll fall over. A promise of God is like a walking stick or something you lean on, and if it's not trustworthy, it collapses. And here's the first promise that Paul's speaking Jesus' words to the disciples in Ephesus, the other first century churches, and because it's the word of God to Christians in every age. Verse 4, if you've got a Bible, look at it. You are chosen for a purpose. times, maybe today, it doesn't feel like you're chosen. And especially when you hear that the purpose that Jesus calls you chosen is because you are called to be holy and blameless in his sight. And you think, well, that's definitely not me. I don't qualify. But you are chosen before the creation of the world, before you are even born or even thought of, before you've done anything by Jesus. He chooses you. He said to his disciples, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Some of the most affirming moments in my life is when somebody chose me. And usually it was because of something they thought I could do or make a contribution to or play a part in or that I was good enough for. The promise of Jesus that you're chosen for a reason of a totally different kind. You're chosen in him. Who's him? Jesus. When he chooses you, it's the closest equivalent is to the way a parent or grandparent thinks of their own child who is longed for, who is wanted, who you love to spend time with, and you long that they will long to spend time with you. As I said to Pastor Frank yesterday, good to be with you. How good it is to be connected to a friend. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command. What does he command? To trust him. Jesus chose us, calls us the chosen ones. Some of the most traumatic moments are when the opposite happens, a daily experience for some of not being chosen, of being rejected, even persecuted. But this blessing from Jesus of being chosen is not because of who you are on your own or anything you've done or capable of doing, but because of who he wants to make you and will make you and promises to make you if you are in him. When Jesus chooses his 12 disciples, it's in Mark 3, verse 12, he chose them so that, reason number one, they might be with him. And having been with him, he'd send them out to preach. This is grace. Grace is undeserved favor. You and I, we don't deserve to be chosen because we're not homely and blameless. And grace is not only undeserved favor, it's also the power that's not your own to do things you couldn't do on your own. By grace, Jesus chooses 12 disciples to be with him. That's the grace of undeserved favor. And so that he would then send them out to preach. That's the grace of Jesus' enabling power. You are chosen. This is the promise of Jesus. Will you receive it? That's how Jesus looks on you. That's his purpose for your life. Second promise that he makes, that you are, verse 5, predestined. That means from the beginning of time, this is God's plan, predestined to be adopted. Jesus is saying, this is a promise, you belong. Some of you I know here, or maybe watching on YouTube, have adopted your own children. And you look on them as your children because that is who they are. They belong in your family. And in first century Rome, it wasn't usually children, but adults who were adopted. And once they were adopted into a Roman family, their name changed. All their debts that they had, if they had any, were wiped out. If you are in Christ, this is the promise, you belong to Jesus' worldwide family. You're with brothers and sisters who are also in Christ. A picture of what it means to be in Christ is to fill a cup with water. The cup is Jesus, his hand, who holds you. And you are in him. And even though we are not holy and blameless, as Jesus works in us as adopted ones in his worldwide family, what Jesus does, then his disciples begin to do. So that if I did this, the water would go in that direction. Across the world, men and women, young and old, of every nation and tribe and tongue and people, of every generation and ability, who are in Christ, are adopted members of the same family. At university, I studied languages, and when I went abroad to practice these languages, French and German, and moved to foreign towns to live there for a few months at a time, I'd always look for two places to belong to. Number one was the running club, because back in the day, it was a long time ago, I could run, so that qualified me to belong there, to the running club. And I looked for the local church, where I didn't need to have any talent or qualification, where I joined with others who were also in Christ. And in those two places, I could belong. This is Jesus' promise to you and to me. You belong. When you were adopted, you got all the rights of the family who adopted you and all your previous debts written off. And this is the third and final promise, the third blessing that Paul, writing to God's people, tells them of. That they're chosen for a purpose, adopted to belong, and redeemed for a new start. Verse 7, in him, who's him? Jesus. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, his undeserved favor, and his power to start doing a new thing in you and through you. A slave was redeemed when someone paid a cost for them, so that they were no longer a slave, but given a new identity. Often it was slaves who were adopted into a Roman family. In a similar way, in the heavenly realms, a spiritual blessing, as Paul describes it in verse 3, is that Jesus has redeemed you and me through his blood. That's our qualification. We are not holy and blameless on our own. And there is no way we can connect with the God who is holy and blameless. But because of Jesus and because of being in him, everything that was not holy and blameless in Jesus' sight that I did or failed to do yesterday, that slate is wiped clean. And Jesus guarantees the Old Testament promise, new every morning are your mercies, your compassions. New every morning are your mercies, your compassions never fail. It doesn't always feel like it. Especially if we're going through a dry and dusty land where there is no water. But this is a promise of truth. The blood of Jesus is the price God the Father in Jesus the Son pays to give us a whole new start, chosen for a purpose, adopted into a family, given a new beginning. This is grace. It's the same grace that Paul in his own life has received that he's giving away to the Ephesians, to other churches who will receive this letter, to God's church in every age. And because of that, there is peace. Even in a stinking Roman prison, the peace that passes understanding, that is the grace-filled promise because of Jesus that he gives to you and me. I finish with this, that every day, it seems to me, I'm rung up by people and texted from strange numbers promising me that if I just give my bank details or click on this link, I will be given a whole lot of money. Or, as the vicar of this church yesterday, £750,000 to an unknown person on the other side of the world. It's promises I don't trust because I don't know these people. Jesus longs to connect with you, for you to be in him, so that we will trust and lean on his promise, however we feel. If this is how you'd like to respond, this is what I'm going to invite you to do. To take the hands that is not your best hand. In other words, the hand you don't normally use to your gifts. I'm left-handed, so it's my right hand. And to form it into a cup shape. This is the hand of God, of Jesus himself. And as a way of saying to Jesus, I want to trust in your promises. Or I even want to do that. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. I put my good hand into the cup like this. Putting myself in Christ, in Jesus. And so I invite the worship band just to come up behind me as we pray this prayer. If this is your prayer, I invite you to pray it under your breath or in your heart with me. It's a prayer asking Jesus for his forgiveness that he's already promised in his word. To hold us, to keep us in his hands. With all our strengths, with all our weaknesses, with all the ways we are not holy and blameless. Lord Jesus, thank you that on a cross you died for me, that on a cross you lavished the riches of God's grace on me. Thank you that you invite me to be in you, to be friends with you, to be saying yes to you choosing of me. To say yes to you adopting me into your family where I belong. To say yes to your redeeming of me. This is what it is to be in Christ, in you, Jesus. Jesus, in a dry and dusty land. Maybe COVID has been that land, that journey for you, where we have been brought to our knees for all sorts of different reasons. Thank you, Jesus, that in you is life. In you is grace. In you is peace.